Last night, I had a vision. As I sat outside, I looked up to the cradle between the mountains here, and it seemed as though it were a throne. And sitting on that throne between that cradle and the mountains was God. Large, strong, and young. And as he sat upon that throne there in the cradle of the mountains began to shake and quiver like tops. And all of the pine spires around began to dance and to spin across the valley. And it seemed as though they were the host of God, the angels of the sky, swirling through this valley. And a voice came from between that mountain peak and said, Norman Harbaugh, I am calling you today to be a prophet to Holden Village. I've been training you for years just for this job. And I said to God, I came here for a vacation. I want to be friendly and popular and happy. I don't want to be a prophet. I don't want to have to say what you have to say. And God came back and said, just keep quiet. Do what you're told. I said, I'm not ready for this kind of job. Why not pick on Leo? Why not pick on Mr. Collins? I'm going to pick on Terry. They know the place as well as I do, or better. And God said, no, I'm picking on you. Just you. And I'm going to give you the words to say. And I said I didn't like it. And I asked for a sign. God, give me a sign to say what I, to know what I'm supposed to say. A sign in the sky, a sign in the face, a sign from somewhere. God said, you don't need a sign. All you need are my words. Those are my credentials this morning. Those are my credentials to come to you as a prophet and a messenger to say the word of God. Well, do you believe my credentials? Do you believe my vision? Did I see it or didn't I? If I were to be a prophet to you this morning and really told you what God's word was, how would you treat me? Do you believe my credentials that I say I'm a prophet? By the end of the week when these devotions are finished and I've told you what God's word might be for this week in Holden Village, will you still say I believe his vision? Or will you say he just made it up? He just made it up this morning so that we would listen to him and we wouldn't hear the rattle of dishes. My call is the same sort of call and the same kind of vision as Jeremiah's. It's no different, and it's just as much a claim as his. Take a look at that first chapter. Take a look at that first chapter of the prophet Jeremiah. It's on page 796. Jeremiah starts off by saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God's talking to the prophet and he says, before you were born, I was at work in you. There's a word there that you ought to know about in Hebrew. It's a word called form. It's the same word that God used when he took that piece of clay, a piece of brown, red, rich clay, and made a man, and molded that man like you would make a sculpture piece, like you would make a mud pie, and made it into the form of a man. And he took that image, that model that he made, and he threw it to himself, and he breathed into it life, mouth-to-mouth breathing, just the way that we do today when we save lives that have been drowned. And God says, I formed you just as the Creator formed the first man. And I formed you for a special job, to be a prophet, not just to Israel, not just to a few people who are on the wrong track, but to the nations, he says. A prophet to the nations. That's a pretty tremendous task. And so Jeremiah naturally replied and said, God, you're a fool, God. I'm only a kid. I'm very untrained and immature. I'm not ready for that kind of job. Pick someone else. Which is exactly what all the other great prophets had said. Pick someone else. Moses said it. Who am I, Moses, a man, a murderer, to go back and save Israel? And Gideon said, I'm the puniest nut and a fool and an ass in my tribe. Why pick me? So they all complained. And they all had that vision of God and they complained and griped when God put the finger on them. Remember as Isaiah? He saw God sitting on a throne and he saw around it all of the seraphim. Ezekiel saw all of the cherubim. And don't think that those cherubim and seraphim are just sweet little angels with wings that go... Cherubim and seraphim in the Bible are those great giant animals with vast wings and tremendous power. Winged sphinxes, winged lions, winged bulls, winged serpents. They are the things that were hovering around God. Not little babies and not angels. And they saw God, they said. They dared to say they saw God. Do with that what you will. But one thing they were sure of, that God had put his finger on. And when God put his finger on them, they said no. Across the board, they said no. The only guy who didn't say no was Ezekiel, and God said, before you say no, let me tell you something. He was about to. And when God put his finger on them, he said one thing always. One very clear thing. I'm going to give you the word to speak. And here it is right in Jeremiah. Don't say I'm only a kid, because you will go to whomever I send you, and don't be afraid, for I am with you. And then verse 9, God touches his hand, stretches out his hand, and touches the mouth of Jeremiah and says, I have put my words in your mouth. I have put my words in your mouth. He said the same thing back in the days of Moses. When God promised that there would always be a prophet right down the line amongst God's people. Always a prophet. And the sign of the prophet was that he would have God's word in his mouth. That's the sign. And that's the thing about us too, if we're in the Lutheran tradition, if we're in the prophetic tradition. That the word is not just a hollow sound. The word is power. The word is strength. And when the word is said, and when I look at your face and say to you a word that's true and real and honest and unmasks you or strengthens you, it's got power. It is from God through me to you. And that's what a prophet is, a living word. The word alive on the spot wherever he is, whether he likes it or not. He has to say it. Whether he gets persecuted or not, he has to say it. And God is saying, you've got to say it. To make it quite clear just exactly how rough it was for Jeremiah, take a quick look at chapter 16. Well, Jeremiah has to live the word. He has to be the word. And the word that he had to be to Israel was very precisely, Israel is going to hell, and you've got to make it clear that I am completely alienated from Israel, that I am completely at odds with Israel. I'm a stranger to Israel, and I want you to be a stranger. Take a look at that chapter. You're not allowed to have a wife, or sons, or children, or daughters. You're not allowed to marry, because you've got to be separate and demonstrate that they are all going to die. You're not allowed, verse 5, go into the house of mourning. You're not allowed to weep with them. You're not allowed to be sympathetic to those people, because you've got to be a sign of what God is. No longer sympathetic to Israel. no longer loving Israel, as it were, because they have cut themselves off, and they've got to see it in you. Wherever you go, you'll be a walking word of the anger of God. Or in verse 8, you're not allowed to have feasting and parties and celebration with them. You're going to be a walking sign that God has taken away mirth and happiness and joy for this people, because they've taken it from themselves when they break from God. That's what a prophet is. Someone who has the word put on him and has to live it. Or like a prophet Hosea, whose whole life is to be spent with a prostitute, showing the world that that's what it's like between God and Israel. Being married to a prostitute who keeps running off for better wages. Well, how do you know that Jeremiah is a true prophet? And how do you know that I am a true prophet? A true prophet, one who dares to come and expose the false prophets. And it may be that in the course of the week that will be my job. To be convinced enough to dare to expose some false prophets right here. That's what Jeremiah had to do. It took him a while to discover it. A couple of places he says, God, you know, they're all preaching that everything's going to be fine. You're deluding them, God. The lot of them, you're deluding the people. And God says, they're false prophets. Don't you understand? Jeremiah, don't you understand? They're false prophets. And bit by bit, Jeremiah realizes he's the only prophet left that's a true prophet. And everyone else is false. What's the judge? What's the criterion by which you know who's a true prophet and a false prophet? How are you going to tell? Jeremiah fights the problem all over the place in his book. One place is in chapter 23. And you come back at me and say, this is no solution, but listen to it. For example, in verse 16, God says, don't listen to the words of the false prophets, because they're only speaking visions of their own minds and not from the mouth of God. So it's their own visions. Maybe the first sign that I'm a false prophet is that I had a vision this morning. How do you know? God simply tells him they're the false prophets. And they keep saying, verse 17, that everything is going to be well, that it's going to be peace. The word in Hebrew is really the word for the gospel in the Old Testament. They keep preaching good news all the time and never preach the problem. How do you know? In verse 18, God says, well, for who amongst them, that is the false prophet, ever stood in the council of God? The council of God is that great big place in the heavens, that great throne of God where all of the heavenly beings are around God's presence, and there God is putting a finger on his messengers from heaven, putting his finger on the prophet. And they claim that they sat in that council and heard God with all the heavenly beings around him say his word and pass his message on to Israel. And God says, if the false prophets had sat there where I sat and heard God's word, then they would have known. But then you say, how many of us have sat there? How do you know that I saw that council this morning? How do you know that I sat in the council? And you didn't. And my claim that I'm a true prophet is that I say it. No proof. No sign from God, just that I say it. I say it again in verse 21. I didn't send those prophets, the false prophets, but they ran. I didn't speak, but they prophesied. And if they stood in my council, then they would have proclaimed my word. And if you go back into Deuteronomy, there are two signs as to what a true prophet is or a false prophet. The first one is if his words come true. But that can also be the sign of a false prophet. In chapter 13 it says, so a false prophet comes along, and his words come true, and he predicts the downfall of Jerusalem or the downfall of something else, and his words come true. But then he says to you, well, look, my words come true. Let's go and worship Baal. Then you know he's a false prophet. It's not just whether your words come true. It's whether or not you've got the right word, the word that God has spoken. And let's see, from devotion to devotion this week, as we look at Jeremiah's effort to get the right word,
what it's all about. Say the words of the prophet. Tomorrow, if you would, we'll look at chapters 13, 19, 27, 28, and 32. All of those wild antics of Jeremiah. 13, 19, 27, 28, and 32. Let's pray. God, we struggle to know your word. Help every one of us to look into the face of each other and dare to speak the word that you have given. Amen.